Road repair is not the only thing at stake when we head to the polls next month to decide the fate of Proposal 1. The Earned Income Tax Credit is part of that proposal. The program is designed to help the working poor. In Michigan, it was scaled back by Governor Snyder and the Republican legislature in 2011. But state lawmakers have approved boosting the EITC in Michigan if voters approve the road funding ballot proposal that would raise the sales tax from 6% to 7%. Well, that means nearly 800,000 low to moderate income families in Michigan could see this targeted tax relief expanded. A Michigan State University researcher has been exploring just what the EITC means to families all across the country. Jennifer Sykes is an assistant professor of social relations and policy at MSU's James Madison College. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
The title of the paper that you published in the American Sociological Review is Dignity and Dreams, What the EITC Means to Low-Income Families. How effective is this social policy?
This is a wonderful social policy in terms of its proven effectiveness in reducing poverty nationally. So there is a national earned income tax credit, which is the subject of my study, and then there is the state EITCs. About half of states have their own earned income tax credits, and we know that it works. It's a modest sum at the state level. The federal earned income tax credit is more substantial, but we know that it lifts millions out of poverty. In the last year, about 6 million people, over half of them children, were lifted out of poverty.
And we know it all came out of President Clinton's anti-poverty policy. And as you quote him in your paper, if you work, you should not be poor. And that was in 1993. So you're right. There's been enough time to really get the impact. Recap for us just how the EITC works.
Sure. So, in fact, the Earned Income Tax Credit was passed in the 70s. But you're right to point out that Clinton was the one to greatly expand the credit. And the nature of the social safety net in the last 20 years has fundamentally changed pretty powerfully. The U.S. government has sharply curtailed the cash welfare, and now it expands benefits to those who are working. So this program, the Earned Income Tax Credit, comes to folks when they file their taxes. And those who have dependent children qualify, those who work qualify, and depending on whether you're married or single, you get different amounts for the credit.
Can you give us just a ballpark idea? Let's say a family of four, what might they typically get in their refund?
Okay, well, let me give you some sense of how big it can be.
Yes.
So the maximum credit for the 2014 tax year, if you're a single mom with three qualifying children, you could get as much as about $6,000. Now, the average credit is actually less than half of that, but that's the maximum. And it's really a program that's designed for working parents who have children. If you're a working individual who doesn't claim dependents on your taxes, you can get some, but it's about $500, and it's quite modest in comparison to the amount that you would get if you have children. This is an anti-poverty program that is really meant to help working families with children.
And you and your three colleagues interviewed 115 low-income recipients. What were you trying to learn, and what questions were you trying to answer?
So we were wondering, as one of the largest means-tested government programs, how people spent their earned income tax credit. Also, how they perceived it, how they thought about this money, how they planned to spend it, and then how they actually spent it.
And I got the sense from reading your paper that you really found that the EITC gives these families a very valuable sense of being included and being invited to the party that it seems the rest of the nation is in on.
Yes. We find that welfare dollars are very different than this kind of money. It's targeted at folks who are working. And what we find is you're exactly right to say that this is money that is special. We find a couple of different central features of the program that cultivate what we call social inclusion. The first is that these folks who get this credit are workers, so they're not dependents. These are families that emphasize that they're playing by the rules. And as you said, Clinton promised, if you work, you should not be poor. So they would emphasize that. But secondly, another feature that seems important in our research is that the method of delivery by which we give folks this money is pretty different. Instead of going to what used to be maybe a degrading welfare office and asking for money, these recipients of this credit go to a for-profit tax preparer like an H&R Block. And so the method is different in terms of the delivery. They also get this money not delivered over the course of 12 months, but it comes as part of their refund check. So the process is very similar to every other American. Everyone has to file their taxes, and they're getting it not as a stigmatized check, but as kind of a one-time lump sum benefit. And this big amount, we argue and we find, allows a temporary, though modest, elevation in the consumption that they're able to engage in.
Now, what are they doing with their tax credits when they get the refund? What are they doing with that money?
The first thing that we would know is that it's relief from debt. So not surprisingly, most of these families are, as I said earlier, they're working poor or working near poor. So a quarter of it off the bat is spent paying on debts and bills. About another quarter is spent on current bills. So they might pay ahead on their car insurance or pay a lump sum in their car insurance. About one-fifth is spent on mobility or asset purchases, things like cars, educational expenses for themselves or their children. A much more modest amount, 17%, is spent on savings. And then we have folks who are spending on treats as well. This features prominently in the article you probably read, but it's not a great deal of money, possibly. It's 1 in 10 of refund dollars, but we find that it's symbolically very significant.
I have to imagine for a mother or a father to be able to give their kids maybe those shoes that the youngster has really been pining for, that's powerful for both the parent and the child.
Oh, you're right. They're using a portion of the refund to splurge on their kids in really modest ways. So they're taking them to a sit-down restaurant a couple of times after they get their refund. They might buy a special item of clothing or a cartoon character bedspread or a special toy. I remember one mother, I think her name was Claire, she told me, "Sometimes my kids get what they need, but it's not what they want." So with this money, meaning the refund money, yeah, I was able to take them to Target and let them pick out clothes. And it might have been a couple dollars more expensive, but it made them feel like $1 million. So I think you're right to say that it reinforces their positive parenting identities. They're indulging in a way that probably middle-class parents are able to year-long. And this is a special kind of bright spot in their financial lives.
What do you think the message is of your study to policymakers, both state and federal, Jennifer?
I would underline that this is an extraordinarily effective social policy. When it comes to having to assist folks, the working poor who are struggling with their declining minimum wages, we have to come up with a way to assist them. We just have to. This earned income tax credit seems a good vehicle for that. It rewards those who are working. It does so in a way that allows them to save some money. And so I would say that the punchline of our study is that while we might not go far enough in our poverty alleviation efforts, the EITC seems to be better at keeping folks in the social fold than the old welfare system ever was.
The title of the paper in the American Sociological Review is Dignity and Dreams, What the EITC Means to Low-Income Families, co-written by my guest, Jennifer Sykes, Assistant Professor of Social Relations and Policy at James Madison College at Michigan State University. Jennifer, it was great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.